Do you like music?
It's rich, it's alive, it's vivid. Stereophonic sound.
Are you fed up with constantly searching for the records you want?
Fame, fortune, platinum records. It's every boy's dream.
Every one of my records means something. The label, the producer, the year it was made.
I'm teaching you about rock music.
Seriously, you're totally elitist. You feel like the unappreciated scholars.
Okay, let's spin a disc.
Hello there, everybody. Welcome back to Cut by Cut Podcast. It's episode something or other, and we're talking Beastie Boys' High Plains Drifter off Paul's Boutique. This is Chris by Cut, and I'm feeling like Steve McQueen, and I'm joined by my co-host, Eric.
With a Kmart shoplifter.
All right.
Yes, I'm a kleptomaniac.
Yeah.
That's a person who steals a lot.
I've heard of that, yeah.
Would that include sampling?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, right. No, it doesn't, because they pay for the samples.
I don't know that.
Question asked, question answered.
It's the next episode.
Yeah.
And people are hopefully listening to it.
I hope so, because High Plains Drifter is a high point on this album for me. I love, with a passion, this song. This is the song I think that hooked me when I first heard this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a Clint Eastwood, it's named after a Clint Eastwood film. It's got that really stupendously amazing beat. I could do without the moaning. But
I was going to say, maybe it's the shameful Catholic that's been, coming, like latent shamed Catholic coming out of me, but the moaning.
Yeah, it's not a big fan.
Well, it's off-putting. Yeah. I don't, you know. The 2018 me doesn't really care, but
right.
but I do love the beat.
Yeah.
A little more bassy than some of the other ones.
So that's the Eagles, right? Yep. So you got the cock of the shotgun, and then the drum is the gunfire, this double doo-doo. Right.
It's coming.
It's coming, it'll be there. I'll talk over it. That's another it'll take a while. While we're waiting for the drums to kick in, it's not going to happen.
Because you're waiting for it.
Mm-hmm. You know what they say. A spinning record never... Never mind.
never stops stopping?
No, this is a fantastic follow-up to the reality of Eggman, is to create this totally fictional Steve McQueen-esque Clint Eastwood... we feel for the protagonist, right? I mean, our job in this song is to empathize with, our High Plains Drifter.
Well, it's an everyman plight to run around, not have enough money to pay for the porn in your motel room, so knock over some 7-Elevens.
Right. How much porn are you renting?
It's all free now. It's 2018.
Yeah. Was it free? I don't know. I mean, I was too young, I guess, to... I wasn't staying in enough hotel rooms or, but I love the opening, right? I'm a High Plains Drifter and I'm the drifter. They can't catch me. They're never going to find me. They're never going to find me. I'm the High Plains. They just really quadruple down on rhyming drifter
with
drifter.
Who are they?
Yeah. I'm confused as to what you are. And then he goes on, of course, and they take us on this joyride, if you will. And it's fantastic. I love...
It is a joyride. I do think they called it a... they being... whoever. I can't find the quote. But they, it's a feel-good sort of rhymey time song.
Yeah, and it's badass right from the start, right? Pulled over to the river, took a rest, pulled out a pair of pliers, pulled a bullet out of my chest.
So you're already... Like
that's some Terminator 2 shit.
It is.
Like this is honest to God, whenever I hear that song, I think of Sarah Connor reaching into the Terminator and pulling out the bullets in the gas station that they're hanging out in. Then of course we get immediately a Hunter S. Thompson Fear and Loathing across the country listening to my 8-track.
Yep.
Hunter S. Thompson, who of course coined Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas and Fear and Loathing on the campaign trail. And an equal parts badass and intelligentsia,
yeah,
which, you know, the Beastie Boys are equal parts intelligentsia and pain in the ass.
Pain in the ass.
So I think that that really balances well. But you just get the feeling, like, for me, for this song, is that they're just really, really enjoying pretending to be badasses. Like, this song is make-believe.
Yeah, well, and this this song, there's a... It's less chaotic than I think... Well, it's definitely the previous song and a couple of the... it's the most... how do you say it? It's the most streamlined of the songs. The most coherent, I would say.
The least frenetic.
There's a beginning, a middle, and an end to this song.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's... And the other ones were just rhymes for the sake of rhymes on top of the antics they're pulling, and they don't necessarily follow each other, right?
Yeah.
At least in Eggman's case. It's not making fun of a homeless guy. It's not, you know, it's, the opening track there, not for the ladies, but the, I'm forgetting names of things right now.
Yeah.
The opening track, which there was a lot to say in that one, like, hey, we're back.
Yeah. To all the girls.
Yeah. The one after.
Or, that. Shake Your Rump.
Shake Your Rump. Right.
Yep.
So I'm really showing my, my prowess here with my prepared,
well, I'm going to talk about the Beastie Boys.
The things. This thing's happening in this song.
I'm sorry. Again, I'm still battling this head cold. So for me, it's been a long week. But the Beastie Boys have, on License to Ill, the fifth song is Slow Ride, right? Which is this track, for those of you who don't know. This is going somewhere, because I have a theory. So Slow Ride is, in essence, about being a bad guy, right? Being the...
hopping in your lowrider, creeping around.
Right. They got a committee to get me off the block. It ends with, because I'm hard hit and always bitten cool as hell. I got trees on my mirror so my car won't smell. sitting around the house getting high, watching Tube, eating Colonel's chicken, drinking Heineken brew. I'm a gangster, prankster. I'm cool as king of the Ave. I'm hated, confrontated for the juice that I have. And then, of course, he ends with, you know, I can't pay attention because I'm on that dust. And I, in my mind, see these two fifth song tracks as being bookends. We have the opening, Slow Ride, which is the jam. It's the cool, like, it's summer riding. It's badass. Then we develop into High Plains Drifter. If you've seen the movie High Plains Drifter, Clint Eastwood returns to the town of Largo, and I don't know if it's really Largo. I think it is.
Returns to a town.
But the spoiler and the twist is that he's a demon of vengeance, and he basically makes the town destroy their entire town. Everybody's killing everybody else, and the joke is that he's unkillable. He's this sort of thing that comes in and causes the destruction of this town.
Brings out the inner demon in everyone else, right?
Well, because the whole town got together to murder him when he was the sheriff.
Yep.
So this is his, you know, astute revenge. And I get the feeling like, you know, the town in Slow Ride chases them away.
Oh,
High Plains Drifter.
I like
is,
that. I see what you did.
Is the return. Now, I'm probably reading really deep into this.
Well, there's certain rhyming to it, and by rhyming I just mean, callbacks to the other songs within them. Mike Simpson, one of the Dust Brothers,
yep,
saw this as a clear descendant of Paul Revere.
Oh yeah, see, I actually had that in my notes until I re-listened to License to Ill before the show. Damn it all, that was my fault.
So no, but I mean I buy your thing, other than.
See, it's right there. He's in
pointing
my notes.
For the listeners at home, he's pointing to his notes. I beat him to it. But yeah, Mike Simpson's quote was that it's that sort of feel good story rhyme. That's the quote I was looking for before.
It is. But you've also only have one even though all three are rapping, you really only have one narrator in this song.
Right? Yeah, well,
it's unlike most other Beastie stuff, it's a heavy I.
Yeah, I think they wrote a story here. They're rapping a story, right? They created a narrative. That's what I was going for before, not so eloquently, is that, yeah, they're actually telling a story, and yes, it is that of a character.
Yep.
And they're not coming in going, I'm Mike D, and I did this, and I'm, you know, Horowitz, and I did that. And
no, right, yeah, there's no drop-ins, there's no popcorning or whatever, hot potato. Because I'm the High Plains Drifter, the best you can get, a strapped shop lifter, a pirate on cassette.
That was my favorite line out of the...
Really? I love Busta Travis Bickle when I'm feeling I'm getting pushed. Don't step because you might get mushed. I don't think mushed really appears enough in hip-hop. And it's such a great rhyme because it rhymes with a lot of other things like gushed, tushed...
Shmushed.
Yeah. Blushed.
Liver whooshed.
Yep. You get mushed like liver whooshed. That is the spiritual successor to Eminem's mom's spaghetti line.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or Beyonce's just rhyming box with, or no, minute with minute, right?
Yeah. I used to think that that's lazy. I now think that that's a songwriter's high five to themselves. Like, that's like...
I earned this?
Yeah.
I earned this.
Like, Beyonce's earned
She can do what
that.
She wants. She's successful.
Yeah. I'm going to rhyme minute with minute.
Stop me.
Yeah, I'm Beyonce, bitch. What are you going to do? Right? The Beastie Boys rapping commercial with commercial, or drifter with drifter, and then drifter with drifter. You've earned your place. You've staked your claim, and you've been able to do it. And I think that that's really fantastic. I'm sad that they refer to Steve McQueen as a former movie star. right? Last episode I talked about it, but I want to talk about it again, which is Atlanta has a thing where, like, they're talking about, does anybody remember Steve McQueen? You know, okay. And they're like, no, nobody knows Steve McQueen anymore.
Yeah.
But Steve McQueen was tremendous. He was a badass, right? He was Bullet. If I were a cop, I would dress like Bullet, which is black turtleneck, shoulder strap, harness, black pants. And I swear to God, I would only exist on a diet of celery. So I was as thin as him.
Yeah, right.
And I would just lean on shit all day long.
With your little six shooter just kind of poking out of the...
Yeah, Bullet doesn't have a little six shooter. This is Steve McQueen.
Oh, so he got a 40, yeah. 40 foe.
Yeah, we're talking about the Cooler King.
Dirty Harry style.
Yep, exactly.
Also referenced in this song.
Yes. Apparently that was that. Well, I mean, so that means Clint gets two shout outs in this song, right?
Yeah, Dirty Mary, Crazy Larry on the run from Dirty Harry.
Yep.
It's awkward to read. I know it rhymes well.
Especially because they're screaming over each other, they're yelling on top of each other at this. The second song in a row with a reference to Travis Bickle of Taxi Driver fame.
Yeah, so what do you suppose, which part, what is, Taxi Driver is all over the place, right? We watch a not so steady decline of a man.
Yeah.
What do you suppose busting a Travis Bickle is? What is a Travis Bickle?
So the most famous aspect of Travis Bickle from Taxi Driver is someday a real rain will come and wash the scum off the streets, right? Him just driving around looking for a target.
Okay.
He's been doing his workouts. He's got his gun. He's primed. He's cocked and he's ready to go off.
Looking for someone that triggers his wrath.
Exactly. Okay. And so I think, to me, at least the frightening part of Taxi Driver, or the scary part of Taxi Driver, isn't when at the end when he goes on his
Jodie Foster
spree.
I agree, sorry,
it's not his spree at the end, it's that we're watching a man slowly boil over, well, like falling down, like Michael Douglas.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was why I was saying, like, busting a Travis Bickle is kind of like a sudden, it sounds like it's a, it feels to me like it's a sudden thing.
Yeah,
I'm snapping my fingers, I'm sorry, but it's so like the idea of busting a Travis Bickle seems counterintuitive to me.
Unless, like, is he referring to the? Yeah, I guess. Like,
so
he's talking about, maybe is he beating up someone who's trying to stop him?
Well, no, I see Busta Travis Bickle when I feel I'm getting pushed.
Don't step to me because you might get mushed. Yeah. So this is just, so I don't care who you are, if you are the scum that's on the streets.
He's at the edge.
Yeah.
So he's going to snap, I guess. Just right. You had it. You had me with what you were talking about.
Which goes to that great, you know, that great line, don't push me because I'm close to the edge.
I said that for that reason.
Yeah, I'm trying not to lose my head.
I totally just crossed streams there. But since I already interrupted, that one of the songs they sample in this song is Put Your Love, open parentheses, in My Tender Care, close parentheses, by the Fatback Band.
Yes.
Which is actually the first commercially released rap single. It shipped a week before Rapper's Delight.
Yes.
I thought that was pretty neat.
So they're
going all the way back.
They're taking it. Yeah, they're stripping it right down. What you just heard underneath, by the way, was Evergreen, who did Travis Bickle Episode 1. And I didn't want to, you know, you were talking, and I didn't want to really draw too much attention to it, but I thought it was a good sort of Zamboni-esque, happy fun time, assault on New York kind of idea there. Do we want to talk about the racism in the song?
Which one? we haven't been highlighting previous iterations of it.
I just feel like, well, we have hit on it a little bit, but it's always... I mean,
it wouldn't be a Western without a little bit of racism sprinkled in.
Well, that makes me rethink a lot of my life. Wouldn't be a Western without abject racism. I'm always uncomfortable with that moment. More uncomfortable than the panting and the moaning. I'm always uncomfortable with the deli robbery of this song. But you know, I just feel like they're going very stereotypical. You know what I mean? Like it's just to play the stereotype card in this just doesn't. I don't know. It doesn't strike me as Beastie Boys.
Being racist, you mean?
Yeah. And I don't know if they're probably being intentionally racist, although I think by nowadays standards, they'd probably be like, yeah, we're really sorry we wrote that line.
Well, I mean, they have songs when they were still performing as a group, there were some songs they just wouldn't play anymore, right? I mean,
right.
That they just acknowledged were... Yeah, we were young and dumb at that time in of our life.
Well, I mean, Licensed Ill had a whole different title.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that...
So, I mean, I would say I give maybe them a little credit. Maybe it's too much. But maybe I don't want to call them racists when we're devoting 12 whole episodes to the album.
But No. I'm not saying...
Definitely in today's standard, at 2008, you know, September of 2018... definitely insensitive. Right?
I never would call the Beastie Boys racists. I would call them insensitive.
Yeah.
And that what they are playing for a joke doesn't fly and it doesn't hold up anymore.
Yeah,
It was enough even when I was a kid when this album, a couple of years after this album came out, when I first heard it, I was even like, that hurts, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, The cop role in this is awesome. The out of the car long hair is fantastic because one thing I don't imagine High Plains Drifter being is hippie-ish.
Sure.
Right? I mean, this guy has Brad Pitt Fight Club hair in my mind. You know, he's got the Travis Bickle mohawk.
If I'm going true High Plains Drifter, it's I cut my hair with my knife while looking into the shiny part of my plate.
You know yeah, exactly. I mean? Yeah. For that nice layered look. You got to get those split ends. And in the desert, it's very difficult. It's a fantastic song. I don't have, like, I feel like we get to the end of the show and I'm like, oh, I don't really have that much left to say about this. But I like the Bonnie-less and Clyde atmosphere of this song.
Bonnie, nice.
Right? This is Clyde busting out on his own. This is, did you ever see the movie Badlands?
The movie Badlands, no.
Yeah, it was Michael Douglas.
Maybe.
And I want to say Sissy Spacek. And they are Carolyn Bouvier and Charles Starkweather.
I know who Starkweather is.
Okay, yeah. The basis for Natural Born Killers.
Okay, yeah.
Right? So Starkweather basically seduced Carolyn Bouvier. They murdered her family and they took off on a murder spree and had just a grand old time. Like, they really loved killing people. This to me is them after a fight, right? Long distance on the phone, and I'm long distance from my girl, and I'm talking on the cellular. She said she was sorry, and I said, "Yeah, the hell you were." That's so petty, and it's brilliant, and it's
so they broke up over who got the odd piece of pizza, and went their own ways.
Are you channeling?
No, no.
I told you, no. Pizzas don't split evenly. Eight is divisible by two people, Chris.
Again, don't check your facts, people. Yeah, trust what we say.
I love. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Do you have anything else you want to say?
I was just gonna poke fun at the idea of Starkweather.
Okay.
Stopping his murder spree to go rob 7-Eleven.
Well, you've got to get some money, right? I mean, you've got to. Yeah, sure. At some point, gas doesn't pay for itself. Gas doesn't just like grow in the ground. I love the line immediately after that, which is check the rearview mirror, check the gold tooth display. I don't want to imagine that he has gold teeth. I want to imagine they're trophies.
Teeth pulled from people's skulls?
Yes. In my mind, this guy is doing that.
Man, now, you're really making him...
Well, you know, he's kind of a hapless criminal, right? I mean, he gets out of prison, he goes into prison. He's
present enough in the crimes to now to steal teeth?
Yeah, I really think so.
This guy scares me the more we talk about him.
You know, like, yeah, so he goes to the Brooklyn House of D, Houdini'd out the cuffs, kicked the screw in the knees, and then he robs the bailiff and takes off. I would watch this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I would cast this movie with a very young Michael Douglas. Like, I think Michael Douglas in Badlands, if it is Michael Douglas, now that I'm thinking about it, is just, I think he'd be perfect for it.
Michael Douglas in Falling Down, a slightly older.
Oh, that movie's so good.
But, you know. So the only hole I have in the theories that you're putting forth are that they, the Beastie Boys, took issue with why they thought, oh no, never mind. I was thinking that they took issue with them being ones that glorified violence. So,
say that one more time.
The Beastie Boys took issue that people thought that they were glorifying violence with a song like this, rather than just telling a story.
I think they are glorifying, but they're glorifying like cartoon violence, I think. Right? I mean, do you disagree with that?
Well, I do if you're relating these guys as the character being Starkweather-esque.
I mean, it's
you crossed the line. Like, I agree, robbing 7-Eleven. No, you didn't cross a line. What I mean is that you put the character having crossed lines that I didn't take the character to in my head.
If you look at like country songs, right? If you go back to the early days of country or even blues, when protagonists do crimes, they go to jail. They're cautionary tales, right?
Sure.
They're all of these like, I walk the line, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, I see, you know, don't bring your guns to town, or you know, any other litany of songs, including songs that are sung by men on the gallows.
Sure.
And they're never apologetic for their crimes. They're just like, yeah, I did it. I got caught.
Yeah.
Here's how the story ends.
Yeah, sure.
This doesn't have that ending. He escapes. He gets away to go do more crime.
Yeah, but right? The crime is petty crime.
It's not, though. He assaults police officers and robs a bailiff.
I'm calling that petty. So
let me ask you this then.
He didn't blow the bailiff's head off and then walk off with his tooth and a wallet.
At what point, then, do all of these petty crimes mean something bigger?
Oh, I'm totally on board with stopping the snowball from growing larger as it rolls down the hill.
I mean, if you're committing four crimes in one stanza, it stops being petty, you know.
But it's not. I murdered the family and took off in their minivan.
Right, right. Well, I mean, he is charming, he is dashing, and he's rental car bashing. So, I mean, all right, so he's rental car bashing. He's phony paper passing, right? He Houdini'd out the cuffs, so he's escaping and evading arrest. kicked the screw in the knee, kicked the the jail cop in the knee, took the bailiff's wallet and went to OC, went to off track betting, right?
Is that what that is?
Yeah. And then he goes to bet with the bailiff's money, loses. Oh no, sure enough that nag came in, bought my ticket, collected my win. Then he breaks into a new car. So now he's stealing his new car with a wire.
See, I almost wanted to go. Have you seen the Paul Ryan Amazon? Paul Ryan, Jack Ryan Amazon series?
No.
Okay, well, there's a pretty neat moment. Hopefully, maybe a spoiler, but one of the storylines in the movie is about a soldier that is doing drone strikes.
Okay.
And in one of the episodes, he finds out that one of the targets was not who they said he was. So he has, in his mind, killed an innocent person.
Okay.
He takes his paycheck and tries to gamble it away and then wins. So I almost, in the song, was like, okay, he's like, this guy just did some things. He's depressed about it. He's just going to go throw the money away, and then he wins.
Right.
So you just can't, he can't even give the money away.
I like that. I do like that. I also worry about the quality of a car you're stealing if, when you turn on the stereo, the Ramones' Susie is a Headbanger kicks in. Because I don't imagine a lot of, like, Mercedes or, in the 80s, Firebirds or Camaros.
He stole the Pinto with the tape.
Yes, exactly.
At that point in the track.
Yes, right? Yeah. This is he's stealing a Gremlin. He's stealing a Nova. Yeah. I think he does steal a Nova
Dodge,
at one
Dodge
point, doesn't
Ares.
He? Get Nova with the key. Oh no, that's a different song.
Well, he's making Steve McQueen reference, so I like to think they're muscle cars of some kind.
Oh, that's
it's probably
true.
An IROC Z or something. As a, yes. No, it's not.
It's a bitchin' Camaro.
Yeah.
And it goes right into Dead Milkmen. The music is starting, so you know what that means.
They're High Plains Drifters.
The time has come
drifters.
For us to leave you.
High Plains
Sorry
Drifters.
It is that we must go.
Drifters?
Yes. Drifters. Drifters, drifters, drifters. I turned all music down. So, as we told you in last show, we've erased all of our social media because we have our finger on the pulse of today's technology, and we're simply waiting for the next big face space Insta Twitter chat to blow up your ear brains. And we will not. When the next one comes, we will be unstoppable. There will be a reckoning of social media genius and godliness. We will deify the internet. Until then,
open parentheses, we'll remember the password.
Damn it!
Close parentheses.
In the meantime, you can head on over to iTunes and listen to lots of old shows. While you're there, please stop and give us a 5-star review. And you know what? Throw a quote in. Like, I like it when Chris said this because he's funny. I wish Eric's cold would go away so he didn't sound like a drowned
ferret.
I hope my voice is a little lower than a ferret. I consider myself at least like armadillo or badger level. Because you can't drown a hippo. But anyway, my mom used to always say that to me.
Is that true?
Eric, you can't drown a hippo. First of all, how? The thing's like 3 tons.
Yeah, it would take a lot of duct tape and
potatoes. You'd have to really be asleep. And potatoes?
Potatoes in the nostrils.
Oh my God.
I've clearly thought this out.
I'm kind of more disturbed than anything. And
hey, folks, tell your friends about the show, please. Get them to listen. Duct tape them and stuff potatoes in their nostrils. Just leave their ear holes open so they can enjoy.
And breathe.
Yeah.
Put it in. tablets of love. They're waiting for you. Got to score you. Hit you with the shovel. It's so sincere. Ooh, they got the kid glove. You just want someone to talk to. They just want to get their hands on you.
Up on Cripple Creek, she sends me if I spring a leak.
waste my time making everything out of avocado. If I'm rich and have a chef, he'll do it for me.
I like or she. That your pinnacle of excess and success is having avocado at every meal.
Yeah, including snacks and desserts.